Welcome to the Lady Up America podcast. I'm Diane Canada, your host, and I am so glad you're here today. Thanks for tuning in. It is Wednesday, ladies. It's April the 3rd, if you can believe it. And today we are continuing on our series called How to Grade the American President. Be right back. All right, ladies, before we jump in, I just want to say a quick hello to Trish. I had the privilege of speaking last night for the ladies in my church, and it was just such a warm and sweet time together. I enjoyed it so much. And Trish was one of the ladies who joined us last night, a new friend of mine, and she made this beautiful little flower arrangement for me. I don't know if you guys can see it, but it looks, I think it's a sheep. It might be a llama, but it's got this sweetest little flower bouquet in here. And on the little card, it says Lady Up. I just love that. So he's going to sit right here beside me today. And I will just send that out to Trish. And thank you so much. If you have a Christian women's group that you would like for me to come and speak to, I would love to do that. I'm giving a lot of speaking engagements and workshops this season, in this tough election season that we're in right now. So if I can be of service to you, just let me know. You can go to ladyupamerica.com, and there's a form on there you can fill out and kind of give me an idea of what you have in mind, and we'll explore it together. But this series that we're doing right now on how to grade the American president is really, really important. Because we want to, we don't want to just operate off of emotion or off of, you know, a snapshot in time that we might get from looking at polls. Polls are indicative of where the American people are at, but it's different than giving an actual grade of the success or failure of the current presidency. It will inform you. What we're doing this week will inform you when you go to the polls in November to cast your vote. So I hope that this has been helpful. I've been getting great feedback from yesterday's show, so I'm going to continue today. And we're going to break down two more of our founding values. What are the foundational conservative values of America? They were the framework from which our founding fathers built our entire Constitution, our Bill of Rights, even really, if you look back to the original Declaration of Independence, all of these ideas, concepts are interwoven into all of this. Yesterday, we broke down two out of the seven. Yesterday, we broke down limited government and individual freedom. Today, we're going to break down the rule of law and peace through strength. Now, I want to remind you again that these founding values, in a lot of conversations that you might have with people, they can see these as, you know, sort of old-fashioned. They see them as a return to something old. But I always encourage you to reframe these as not something that is antiquated or old, but instead they are foundational for our republic. And the way I typically frame it is I'll say these are the load-bearing walls of our country. They're holding up the roof of our country. If one of these comes down, our entire republic will crumble. Our founding fathers were extremely intentional about studying other governments and making sure that they set us up for success, that we didn't fall prey to a lot of the motivations of men, the things that kind of can corrupt a society and corrupt the government. They really wanted to try to insulate us as much as possible. Now, as we're going to see by breaking this down, we're already in a danger zone, a pretty big danger zone. But if you're aware of these founding values, if you're aware of these load-bearing walls, then they haven't come down yet. We can work to reinforce them and so that we can hold up our republic. So it's not too late, okay? It's not too late at all. We still have time to turn this around, but you have to be informed. You have to know what the true north is in order for us to find our way back home, okay? So today we're going to break down two more. Like I said, yesterday we broke down limited government and individual freedom. Today we're going to break down rule of law and peace through strength, two more of our founding values. So let's see what they say. And I do want to also give credit. I got these from Speaker of the House Mike Johnson before he was Speaker. I found these through him 3 years ago when I was first building Lady Up America. So credit where it's due. Okay, so rule of law says, ours is a government of laws and not of men. And the rule of law is our foundation. To maintain ordered liberty and civilized society, public and private virtues should be encouraged, and justice must be administered equally and impartially to all. Each branch of government must adhere to the Constitution, and Congress must provide the oversight. All right, that's rule of law. So let's break this one down first before we get into peace through strength, okay? Although they really do complement each other. Now, with the rule of law, the takeaway on that, like my big takeaway from that paragraph is what's good for the goose should be good for the gander. That's the way rule of law is supposed to work. If you commit a crime, then obviously there are circumstances around that crime and no crime is the same, right? But there should be equal application of the law. Like if you steal something, there's a penalty for that. If you steal something, you shouldn't walk free. Okay, so the variations on the penalty might be different based on the circumstances and all of that. But one shouldn't walk free while the other one has to pay for their crime. All right, that's the idea behind rule of law. So let's just kind of break down the paragraph again just to get it really good in our minds. So the rule of law is not supposed to be based on the motives of men. We are a government of laws and not of men. So what that kind of says to me is that it can't be like we can't bend the law and break the law for some because we're motivated to try to, you know, give someone partiality or favor. All right. Ordered liberty, which liberty means basically freedom. So ordered freedom. In a society, people will say, well, I'm free to do whatever I want. Well, we're really not because we operate within boundaries, within laws. So, and the other thing too, is we want to think about this from a moral perspective too. Like I love my husband and I'm free to cheat on him, but I don't because I love him and I want to maintain the integrity of my marriage. All right. So just because I'm free to do it doesn't mean I should do it. So there should always be ordered liberty, ordered freedom to maintain a civilized society. All right, then another breakdown here of it is public and private virtue are important. So what is virtue? Basically, that is standards that we live by. They're the way we govern ourselves. And so private virtue, how I govern myself, and then public virtue, how we treat our neighbors, how we act in public. These should all be things that we consider to be very important, and there should be limits and boundaries around those things, again, to maintain a civilized society. Equal justice and an impartiality to all. So that's what I was saying before. If one person commits the same crime as another, one shouldn't get off and walk free while the other one has to do the time. It's just not right. It's not fair. And that each branch of government should hold up its oath, basically, to the Constitution. So Congress is supposed to be the watchdog over the rule of law. They're the ones that are supposed to enforce the other branches of government that might be wavering in this area. Okay, so that's what rule of law broken down is supposed to be all about. Now, without the rule of law, if rule of law is being chipped away at, then here's what we get. We get weaponized laws, right? We get what we call lawfare, where, you know, one person, again, is walking free while the other one is having to face all kinds of consequences. Because there's a motivation behind it to harm or to punish one person while another person is protected and covered. There's no boundaries on freedoms. So it's just kind of a wild, wild west society. Like, you know, we just see chaos among all of the, there's no order to our freedoms. There's no order to liberty. We see an uncivilized society as a result of that. We see no public or private virtue. It's just kind of, if it feels good, do it. Who cares who it hurts? Who cares who it bothers? You know, I'm going to do what I want and, you know, everybody else can just go jump in a lake. I mean, that's kind of the mentality. We see partial justice. So unequal applications of the law. And we see corruption among the branches of government, and Congress's hands are tied to enforce laws. They basically lose their power to be able to, you know, maintain that oversight for the other branches. So what can we look at in the current administration that might show us a weaponization of laws, no boundaries on freedoms, you know, people just trampling over each other's liberties to maintain their own or to achieve their own, uncivilized society where it's just literally like the wild, wild west. We could look to so many of our news cycles right now and pick out tons of them that would show us the failures in this administration. Also, if you just look at the border alone, if you just look at that alone and how Congress's hands are being tied, and then how that is being twisted to make it look like it's Congress's fault. It's just unbelievable to me. I'm always amazed at how well the left can twist a narrative to make it look like somehow they are in the right and the Republicans who want to uphold the rule of law are in the wrong. It's just, it's astonishing to me. You got to hand it to them. They're really, really great at that. So let's look at peace through strength. Let's look at our second founding value here. So to define peace through strength, it is this. The first obligation of the federal government is to provide for the common defense of the United States by protecting our homeland and our strategic interests abroad. Because America serves as moral leadership in an increasingly dangerous world, and because weakness invites aggression, we must remain the strongest military power on earth, fully prepared and capable of defeating any adversary, tyrant, or terrorist under any circumstances at any time. That's one of our seven load-bearing walls, is peace through strength. The takeaway from that is the only thing that a bully is going to understand is a force greater than itself. You can't negotiate with terrorists. You can't reason with people who literally want your head on a platter. There's a strength that has to happen there in order to push that evil back. So let's just break it down for a sec. Peace through strength. So the very first job of the federal government, the number one uno job that they have, is to protect us, to keep us safe, to protect us from invasion, from threats here domestically and also from abroad, to thwart any attacks on the United States. They're also supposed to serve as moral leadership in the world because we are the strongest superpower. It is our job to maintain that moral leadership. I don't think we should police other nations, but we should lead by example, basically, is how I'm seeing that. That we should be aware of danger in the world and always on our toes, basically. We need to understand that weakness invites aggression. So we need to invest in our military to maintain our ability to protect and defend ourselves against anyone at any time. Okay, so without peace through strength, let's just look at what happens when the peace through strength pillar starts to crumble. Americans are unsafe. We have invasions. We have a loss of moral leadership in as far as our perception, how people perceive us around the world. We're basically seen, instead of as a superpower with moral leadership, we're seen more as a joke. We're the butt of the joke, right? We're just a big joke to the world. We're not taken seriously. Our enemies then advance their agendas because they don't have any fear of any consequence from us. We have a depleted military, so it makes it really difficult for us to be able to defend ourselves if we have a surprise attack of some kind. We're weakened, where we can't rise to the occasion, and that leaves us vulnerable. So what can we see in our news cycles right now where we can grade our president on how he's doing in these areas? Do you feel safe? Do you feel like America is protected from invasions? Never mind the hundreds of people that pushed back our National Guard in Texas the other day and all got in and deployed around to a neighborhood near you. That's not an invasion. No. We are absolutely being invaded at our southern border. and not just by families seeking a better life. We're talking about military-aged men from countries all around the world, as well as their jails and their insane asylums being emptied out into our country. All the undesirables and all the dangerous people that other countries don't want, they're sending them to us. And our administration is busing them in or flying them in to a neighborhood near you. And that's what's happening. It is absolutely an invasion. Loss of moral leadership were a joke to the world, so other countries start to advance. So if we look at the last administration, we had no wars under that four-year administration. In the last three, not even a full four-year term right now, literally fire has broken out all around the world. We have Russia advancing on Ukraine. We have Iran and Hamas and all these terrorist organizations advancing on Israel. I mean, you look at the state of the world right now, and it is just chilling. We look at, again, our border. We look at the horrific way that we pulled out of Afghanistan. That was really the kicker for me. That was the last straw for me because of what my brother went through there. He served in Afghanistan as a Marine. I want to tell you that one really was personal for me. And all of his brothers and sisters who served over there with him. The loss of life that we took at that tarmac and just, oh my gosh, the people that we left behind. I mean, it's just atrocious. So now a lot of these terrorist groups have reformed. They are terrorizing the people in Afghanistan again. We left behind informants that God knows what happened to them and their families. I left a lot of Americans behind. I mean, there's so much, there is so much blood on the hands of this administration that it is just heart-wrenching. So I would say that we're not taken very seriously around the world now because of our complete lack of leadership, certainly moral leadership, and certainly lack of military leadership. And again, because they actually kicked out people in our armed services because they wouldn't take the vaccine. They've allowed all of these trans people to come into the military. Their recruiting numbers are down significantly because nobody wants to fight. Nobody wants to join the military. I mean, it's really sad how our military is being depleted, and they've taken away a lot of the funding for the military. So they've weakened us in our ability to provide peace through strength with their policies. So again, if I were to grade the current administration, and it's not a comparison to the last one, but here's the beauty. Let me just segue for a second. With the current ballot for this year, this election season, it's not like we have to sit back and wonder if the Trump administration would uphold these seven values. You may not like his personality, but you have to, at least if you are educated at all, you have to look at the policies that were in place. And you would have to agree that when we look at the seven fundamental load-bearing walls of our country, those policies upheld them almost perfectly. Yet this administration that we're under, they're doing everything they can. They've got hammers in their hands trying to knock them down. So it's not about whether you like his personality, his tweets, whatever. It's about who's upholding and reinforcing the load-bearing walls of our country, and who's got a hammer in his hand trying to knock them down. So if I were to grade this current administration on our next two principles, rule of law and peace through strength, I would have to give him a big fat F. I don't know about you. What do you think? I'd love to hear from you. If you have a differing opinion, I would love to hear it. So you can email me. You can go on the website and send a note. But I would really love to hear it. But this is our true north. These seven values, these are the load-bearing walls. And if one of those comes down, our republic crumbles. And that's what we're doing. I'm trying to just educate you about them because I know a lot of us are rusty in our civics knowledge. And maybe I didn't even know about these seven values until I was running for office. I'd never heard of them before. So maybe you're like me and this is all new to you. I don't know. So wisdom and knowledge are necessary for us to be able to influence. We have to have a foundation to pull from when we're trying to influence people, especially in this season. We're trying to motivate people to vote, motivate them to the polls. I've had so many people tell me, I'm just not even going to go vote. Y'all, we don't have that luxury. If we don't go vote and do our best to put a person in office that's going to uphold these walls, we may as well just go ahead and elect a tyrant, elect an emperor, because freedom as we know it, it'll be an ancient memory. We will, it's like Ronald Reagan says, freedom is only one generation away from extinction. We don't want to be sitting around in our sunset years explaining to our grandchildren how America was once a free nation, explaining them what it was like to be free in America. We don't want that. It's hard maybe to get up and go vote. It's hard. Maybe you have to hold your nose at the ballot. I don't know. Maybe it's hard for you to have any hope in our country anymore. Maybe it's hard to wrap your head around the idea that there still is hope for our country, but there is. What's harder is handing it over to Marxism. What's harder is watching our children and our grandchildren lose their freedom. So please, I implore you, I beg of you, do not vote based on personality. Vote based on policy. Vote based on whose policies are upholding the roof of America. Let that be your guiding light to the poll. All right, let me pray for you. Father God, I thank you so much for this precious woman listening today. Lord, I ask that you give us discernment, you give us wisdom, or that you continue to protect America, even though we have fallen so far from you, Lord. We know that there are still people in this country that want a return to you, Lord. I know this precious woman wants that. We want that. I want that. I stand in agreement with her, Lord. We want to turn our country back to you so that you will heal our land. And these policies are rooted in you, Lord. They're rooted in boundaries and protections that were set up for us in the Bible. So, Lord, we want to reinforce those load-bearing walls. Teach us how to do it. Show us how to do it, Lord. And we thank you for that wisdom and that discernment. We love you, and let everything we say and do glorify you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't be mad at me. Don't be mad at me. I know I can hear you from here. I promise. I promise. This is the way to go. Trust me on this one. All right. You've got this. I love you. I'll see you tomorrow. Lady up. Lady up. Around this town. Victory on the back.